Welcome to MTE's Plugged In podcast. This podcast focuses on the world of electric vehicles. We combine expert interviews and personal stories to educate and inform listeners about electric vehicles. So whether you're an early adopter who has been driving an EV for years or you're just starting your research, this podcast is for you.
Hello, I'm Brandon Wagner.
And I'm Amy Byers, and welcome to Middle Tennessee Electric's Plugged In podcast. Today, Brandon and I would like to welcome Quincy Lee to the podcast. Quincy is the CEO of Electric Era, so welcome to the podcast, Quincy. Before we get started with all of our more detailed questions, tell us a little bit about yourself and about what Electric Era is and how it was formed.
Hey, Amy and Brandon. Nice to be here with you both. So as you just mentioned, my name is Quincy Lee. I'm the CEO and founder of Electric Era. Our company builds EV fast charging stations that are reliable, affordable, and easy to install. We are, growing rapidly and are focused on expanding our charging station fleet across the country, so drivers have a good place to charge. You know, we started the company really just with one core focus, which is to make EV fast charging ubiquitous, affordable, and reliable. Our team is largely former SpaceX, so we were bringing a lot of kind of technical innovations from the space tech industry to the world of EV fast charging to do a variety of different things, with the main one being improving reliability. So excited to kind of get into that with you all today and you know, give the audience a little bit more insights into how we solve the reliability problems that face the industry. Looking forward to talking with y'all.
Awesome. Well, Quincy, you mentioned you and your coworkers, some of the coworkers have an experience at SpaceX. When we first talked, you mentioned that your experience there made a move into this space kind of a natural transition. And that caught me off guard. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, so you're just asking kind of how I made the transition from SpaceX to the world of EV fast charging?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I think way back in, you know, maybe this all starts way back in 2010 or 2011, I started to pursue a minor in nuclear engineering at Ohio State. Go Buckeyes. So I was getting a structural engineering degree, and I just felt a lot of interest and intrigue about nuclear engineering. And of course, when you study nuclear engineering, you get really a lot of exposure to electrical engineering and energy economics. I would call them energy economics, like basically how much does it cost to generate energy and power for, you know, the grid at large. And I went off and I ultimately did not pursue like a role in a nuclear engineering company. And instead I spent 7 years at SpaceX building rocket satellites and spacecraft at SpaceX, which was an exceptional experience and where I learned a lot. But along the way, I kept an eye on the energy economy, if you will, and was keeping track of all the exciting movements in electric vehicle transportation. And I started to kind of put two and two together and realized that in order to really accelerate electric vehicle adoption, we needed better sources of EV fast charging. I think Tesla's obviously done an exceptional job, but we really need a lot more folks and companies like Tesla to build out the required public EV fast charging infrastructure by 2030 if we want to hit kind of our growth targets. So I ended up leaving SpaceX in 2020 and founded Electric Era really to kind of solve that problem and to provide a white label full turnkey solution to businesses that want to purchase EV fast charging stations that are excited about attracting a new driver base, attracting new share of wallet, and you know, having a really compelling source of revenue generation on their properties. When I transferred over to Electric Era, I fortunately was able to kind of bring a lot of my knowledge from building extremely high reliability solutions at SpaceX and imbued it into our technology here at Electric Era.
With all that said, can you tell us how maybe your experience with SpaceX and your education and all that has made a difference in this approach that Electric Era is taking toward charging?
Yeah. Great question, Amy. I would say there's like a few kind of core tenets of our technology that are, I would say, distinctly reflective of our experiences at SpaceX. And then there's a third that was, you know, just a kind of a novel approach that, you know, we innovated and actually patented that helps us solve one of the core problems with EV fast charging, which is kind of the grid upgrades and the slow time to markets that can come along with that. So the first two items I would say are a fully vertically integrated software solution that we developed here at Electric Era that does literally everything at the charging station. So everything from driver experience to payments, to energy management, to operations and maintenance, to screen control. We do it all with our PowerNode OS software. So we've been developing that for about 3 years and are currently running it live at our charging stations and having extremely good results. The second aspect of what is, I would say, reflective of what we did at SpaceX is on-site edge compute that controls the charging station locally and autonomously. This is notably different than I think what everybody does, probably with the exception of Tesla, which is most of whom control their charging stations kind of ad hocly through the cloud. So if there's an issue that pops up, there's a long latency loop that has to happen to communicate that issue all the way back to the cloud, at which point the software in the cloud responds and dictates a command. So that can take a long time. It can take, you know, minutes, if not longer, to parse that information and make a decision. What we do differently is we actually have a pretty high power edge compute system on site that is constantly monitoring and assessing the health of the station and the power dynamics happening at the station and making real time decisions on how to control it to best optimize the driver experience. And by real time, I mean literally 20 milliseconds or less. You know, this is like extremely fast, low latency control that gives us a much higher level of reliability. When we came from SpaceX, you know, we were largely building satellites, and the mental model for the audience is with satellites, you can't send a technician or a human up to the satellite to fix it. So you have to have fixes that are in software and that are autonomous so that the satellite itself can be safely administered and always operational. And that's, again, the exact approach that we are aiming to achieve with our technology stack at Electric Era. And we actually see that tenfold just in our even early days as a company. We have, you know, in February, actually, we had 99.9% uptime for our charging station in Portland, Oregon, as an example. So these technologies are very impactful to making the driver experience exceptional. So those are kind of a couple of the SpaceX technological tenets. The third one that I mentioned earlier is just the incorporation of an on-site energy storage system that provides energy backup and energy buffering to the charging station. We actually also run that in a real-time low latency control loop, and we use it to basically buffer out the electrical demand that the grid sees, so that we can install charging stations in more locations and still provide a very high power, fast charging experience, and get the charging station installed quicker. So that was kind of a novel innovation that we brought to the kind of technology fold as well. And we actually patented that approach in our software control systems that administer the energy. All of that is kind of like the underpinning of our technology and really what makes PowerNode charging stations shine.
Yeah, so the energy storage system, which I'll refer to as batteries, you know, but that's, you mentioned a little bit about what their role is, how they can provide some extra functionality. So you don't have rectifiers in your installs, right? This does the rectifying for you. And then I think you mentioned it'll allow you to build charging stations in more areas. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So for folks that are curious, we have what I call an AC coupled microgrid. I mean, that's just like the standard technical term of what we run. So what does that mean? It means basically we have a large shared pool of power at our charging station that the battery and the chargers all can feed off of and pull into, push into. So imagine your charging station. It has a connection to the grid. You know, its power's coming in at 483 phase, typically at our charging stations. The battery itself has an inverter on it that takes in that power and charges up the battery during periods of low use and discharges back into the shared pool of power during times of high use. Separately, the chargers have power converters in it that do AC rectification that convert that 483 phase into DC at the right voltage that the car is commanding at that point in time. Our edge compute system, the site controller that I talked about earlier, controls the dynamics of all of that energy management. So it's able to both forecast the future load and calibrate the current amount of load such that the available energy in the battery pack is at the right level so that when cars come in, we can charge them up without any downtime or without any slow charging experiences. We basically are able to achieve a 4x reduction in installed power capacity through the use of the software energy management system and the use of the on-site energy buffer. And at, for example, a four charger station, we're able to do that and still achieve 150 odd sessions per day. So we're able to get a lot of revenue out of these stations for our customers. We're able to get a lot of usage and we're able to do it extremely reliably. And as a result, there's good stations coming around the country that make EV fast charging a joyous experience for the driver, but also one that's affordable and can be installed on any street corner in America. And that kind of goes back to the comment I made about a reduction of 4X. So if you have, I think actually this is pretty interesting for the audience. An EV fast charging station is basically like 1,000 or 2,000 homes worth of power on one city block. That's kind of the mental model that people need to have. It's so much power, right? Power is different than energy. Power is like the size of the pipe. Energy is like the water going through it. We as a company specialize in kind of decreasing the size of the pipe while still providing the energy throughput that the cars need to charge. And we do that, as I mentioned earlier, with energy management softwares and on-site battery systems. When you achieve that big of a reduction, it just means that you can now find a lot of really attractive locations that have great amenities on site or near highways or near major corridors, but that might not have a lot of power available or even power that you could bring in while working with the utility. With our system, that's okay. We can still bring whatever power there is to bear and pair it with the battery energy storage system to feed the cars through the chargers when they show up. So this is a pretty needed innovation, in my opinion, for the industry to kind of more quickly deploy charging assets in more locations and still be able to provide that energy arbitrage business opportunity to business owners or anyone else that wants to install a charging station, all very reliably.
Yeah, I like the illustration of the water because I like to think of batteries like a water tower. It's, when the pump house is running all the time, but when usage is low, the water tower will fill up, and then when usage is high, it'll slow down. But you don't have to go buy extra pumps that you're turning on and off and on and off. It's very similar for the grid. If we're trying to build out, there's a lot of infrastructure we have to go put in for a few hours a day. But a battery kind of solves some of that.
Yeah, I think that's a great description. Another good kind of mental model is like a gas tank underneath a gas station. Like the gasoline's not just falling from the sky. That would be really bad for a lot of reasons. It's actually being pumped from a reservoir underground that gets filled up on about a daily basis, depending on the station. So instead of filling it up with a truck with gas in it, we fill it up from the grid kind of during these opportunistic moments. You know, the water tower, the gas tank analogy is a really good one for the audience.
I'll go ahead. You mentioned some abilities for your site to self-heal. Can you share some details about this and how does this improve uptime for your charging stations?
Excellent question, Amy. I mean that, to be honest. I think that is a super important question that the whole industry needs to answer. I'll share my screen briefly. And I think this is like a pretty interesting visual image for kind of how we at Electric Era think about reliability. So hopefully this is a video podcast and everyone can see this. If not, let me know. But assuming it is, I'll just keep going. So in my opinion, there is not enough proper accounting done for reliability for charging stations. In my opinion, the reliability standards that everyone should be adopting, the government, all the CPOs, the network operators, and the drivers who should be pushing for this, is best done with what's shown on the screen. So the way that we think about reliability is twofold. There's two really important components. There's uptime. Is the station online? Is it functional? Is it operational? Is there power running to it? That's uptime. And then separately, there's the harder metric, which is charging session reliability. When a car plugged in, what happened? Did it work? Did it not work? Did it short out? That's charging session reliability. Both of these have to be successfully done in order for the driver to get what they really want, which is energy into their car. Most folks only pay attention to uptime. Is the station online and is it functional? That's a statistic that can be gamed. It's a statistic that can provide a flawed perspective of what the actual reliability of the charging station is. In reality, you need both the uptime, the station's online, and a successful initiation of the charging session for the driver to really have that great experience, to get the energy in the car that they desperately need. So you kind of see on the graphic the difference between these two things. You know, you can have, for example, on the car to the right, you can have an EV charger that's online and have uptime, but the car is not actually having a successful charging session, and it has a red thumbs down. Or you can have the opposite. Well, you can't have the opposite, because if the charging station is offline, then the car is not going to get the session. So basically, the point I'm trying to make is you need both of these things. And honestly, we just as an industry need to fess up to that and have an intellectually honest conversation with ourselves and our drivers, and just really push ourselves to the highest possible standard. So I'd call on anybody that cares about reliability to push for this higher standard, because it's actually what's going to make EV fast charging super reliable and enjoyable. And we really need that if we want people to get in EVs.
Well, Quincy, I really appreciate how much you have certainly wrapped your head around this industry and sharing that with us. So this question is a little bit broader. It's more industry related. But you obviously have your ear to the ground and you know what's going on. I would love your perspective on what do you think the next 5 to 10 years look like in this industry, from autonomous driving to home charging, vehicle to grid. I know Electric Era is working on some new products. I'm just kind of interested if you'll kind of look in your crystal ball and share what your thoughts are.
Yeah, great question, Brandon. And I'll come back. Sorry, I didn't address it specifically about the self-healing software. I can hit on that briefly if you'd like. I'll just say the self-healing software just means that the charging station is constantly running diagnostics on itself and fixing issues if and when they come up, and properly attending to the driver when they show up and plug in and charge. For example, if a driver shows up, they plug in, and there's, you know, some sort of issue with the hardware on site, our software can actually detect it, isolate it, recover it all within milliseconds so that the driver doesn't even notice. That's kind of what we mean when we say self-healing. You know, this is, again, one of those things that we ported over from the rocketry world. We like to talk with our drivers and customers about how we bring rocketry levels of reliability to the charging industry. This is like a technology type that is uniquely enabled with the blend of the full vertically integrated software system and the edge compute system. And it basically means we can achieve these high reliability levels. Okay, so that aside, talking about the future, I mean, there's so much stuff happening. It's almost overwhelmingly cool how much exciting innovations are taking place in the EV world. I think electric vehicles themselves are in many ways poorly branded. I think that most people think EVs are some government mandate. that are kind of like slow and don't have range and are boring. Literally, that couldn't be further from the truth. The reason EVs are so exciting and being adopted is because they're extremely high quality automotive products. They are literally rocket ships on wheels that many of which autonomously drive you. I would just encourage everybody that listens to this to like go out and actually get in an EV and punch it on the accelerator. And you'll know exactly what I mean. The car, it's like, you'll never miss another red light, right? And I'm not saying that in a way where you're driving dangerously as a driver. I just mean, you're able to quickly accelerate. You're able to go from point A to point B literally way, way, way faster than you can in an ICE engine because of the electric powertrain. So these are amazing cars. It's like driving an iPhone 2. The cockpit experience and the internal software is like far superior than what you see from most internal combustion engine cars. By the way, I don't really have any issues with ICE cars. I think they serve a place and they're interesting, but I just think it's a big level up. I'm a product purist. I care about going out and having fun in my car and actually just having like the best possible curated experience in all things that I do, especially in my daily commute. And you just get more of that from an EV. You get a better experience. And I preface the comment about the future because I think it's good to just kind of calibrate to the audience, like how cool the product is already and then how quickly it's improving. And that's the future comment, right? So to give people an idea of what's happening in the industry, energy density and battery cells are getting drastically better. There's more range as a result. The vehicles are lighter weight as well, so they can accelerate faster and achieve a better product experience with less cost. The costs are just drastically collapsing. It's remarkable. Everybody knew this was going to happen because EVs just are less complex. They have a lower price floor, and they were always destined to be more affordable just because there's less things happening inside of them than an ICE equivalent. But we're now starting to see that. Battery prices were just announced from CATL being about $56 per kilowatt hour, which is like extremely low. So we've already passed that price, parity point with ICE, and EVs are just more affordable now. They're getting faster charging capabilities. The kind of bus voltage inside the battery pack is being leveled up across different electric vehicle types. So now you can just charge faster. Everybody's kind of moving from 400 volt bus to architectures to 800 bus volt architectures. So the fast charging experience is getting better. Honestly, the thing that I love about EVs the most is that they just autonomously drive you. And the latest software release from Tesla for full self-driving and the work being done by Waymo is remarkable. Like, cars are literally driving themselves right now, and that's going to be everywhere in 5 years. So I'm very excited about that. And then I think there's companies like Electric Air out there that are kind of building the picks and shovels infrastructure if you need, with great partners, and customers, that allow that fleet of EVs to kind of have a seamless experience on a daily commute. So we're out there, really trying to bring that seamless and reliable charging experience to the masses so that people are just both excited about the product and can seamlessly use it in their life. I could talk for hours on this topic, but I think that gives the audience a pretty interesting perspective of what I see coming.
I think you're absolutely right on the enjoyment that people are having driving these vehicles. You know, it is a different driving experience. And I think when we do our car club events and we have, we've had several members come and do the podcast, and they're all so excited about the joy of driving again, just the new experience and the acceleration. I will say we've done so many ride-along events where, we'll do a podcast in a car and talk to them. And every time I'm riding with someone, with the EV, I don't know if they think it's my first time in the EV or not. I don't know. But they're always like, hey, watch this. And then they want to just, give me some whiplash or whatever. But they do that every time. So that is definitely a thing that owners like to show off when they get somebody new in there. It's like, look how fast this can go. So I have a question just to follow up on all that we've said, you have said that, you know, y'all are all over the country. Are you in Tennessee? You know, are you in our areas, any of our areas?
Yeah. So actually, the very first project we ever deployed was in Knoxville, Tennessee. We did a pilot project with EPRI, the Electric Research Power Institute, and we ran a charging station for about 4 months in their parking lot, which was pretty fun. That was where we really proved out a lot of the technology. So shout out to EPRI and the state of Tennessee. Honestly, Tennessee is a super big leader in EVs, and as you all know, energy writ large. Given everything TVA does in the state and the seven states, I should say, around Tennessee, but mainly in Tennessee, of course. And I'll just clarify, you know, so we have 14 sites in development right now. We're quickly coming online, hopefully, I think in the August timeframe with MTE. We're going to be, deploying a pretty monster charging station with you guys. So the drivers of Tennessee are going to have an awesome charging opportunity right near, I think, HQ parking lot. And there, I think, is about four charging stalls, each of which are capable of about 200 kW of power, and be kind of underneath the hood. There's a lot going on at the site. There's two monster batteries there that each can do about, I think, 233 kW and of power and about 233 kWh of battery backing. So this is like a really impressive and big site. And again, it's going to have that same guarantee of quality and reliability for the driver base. That's just one station coming online in Tennessee. I think there's another one coming on in Missouri. And then we have a few others further down the pipeline for the state of Tennessee. Other than that, I mean, most of our charging stations are on the West Coast, kind of the northwest of the country, and Washington, Oregon, and California. We have another one coming online in Boston, I think, this month. And on the 15th, we're supposed to energize. And New Mexico, actually, oddly enough, we won some grant funding for the NEVI contract down in the state of New Mexico, which is my home state. So yeah, lots of good stuff happening. And, you know, we're just excited to continue to grow the fleet, continue to grow the base so that drivers can accelerate their way to a charging station, an electric era powered no charging station, and get a great reliable charge.
Well, is there anything, I think that kind of is all the questions that we had. Is there anything else that is going on with your company that you would want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I think for anybody that's wanting a very reliable charging station, but doesn't think they need a kind of grid upgrade or demand charge reduction type solution, we're launching PowerNode Zero, which is our kind of slimmed down version of PowerNode without a battery. So you can still get all the same reliability and excellence that you come to expect from PowerNode, but for less CapEx. So that's coming soon. Reach out on our website if you're interested in that. Nothing that we're willing to talk about yet, but there's some extremely exciting stuff happening in the pipeline. I was just in our V3 product roadmap meeting last Friday late, and we're, I think, going to build a product that turns a lot of heads, and we hope will be higher performance and lower cost and better driver experience than even the Tesla supercharging station. Our team is super hard at work on that, and we have some really cool stuff in the pipeline.
Great. And your website is?
ElectricAeroTechnologies.com.
Okay, great. And we will link that in the podcast as well.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
It is, and we'll definitely.
I was curious. I mean, what are you guys excited about for the future on your side of the table? What stands out to you, and what do you hope to see over the next 5 years happen?
I think right now what we hear a lot of is there's a lot more of our residential members rent instead of own their home. And they're at a disadvantage for how to charge. You can't install a level two charger at your apartment. And so we figure that's a problem that needs a solution. And we're trying to figure out how MTE plays a role in that. I think our approach is similar to what you described, Quincy. We're looking for pain points and problems and how to address those and solve them in a mutually beneficial way. So I'm really excited to, a lot of what we're doing, it's still kind of the Wild West, right? So a lot of what we're doing is sort of pilots and learning and trying to identify risk and all that. With our charging station that we're going to have, the electric air station, EPRI's actually going to work on some research with that because it is a little bit of a different station, and I'm excited to see what kind of battery value. There's some value for us, even if there's not charging going on, and we're setting a, you know, we had an event in the winter of 22 where we had to do some capacity issues with TVA. In that situation, we would be able to discharge those batteries and get some additional capacity. So there's a lot there. And we, you know, right now we're going from putting it on paper and trying to put it in the real world and make sure it translates. But it's job security for us for sure, because we just know that EVs are coming. And so we know that we're sort of have the most in the valley. And we kind of feel like we need to be a leader. So it's just a lot of research and studying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, you know, years ago when you would pass a Tesla, or, you know, you'd be like, oh, wow, you know. And now every time I get out to go anywhere, I'm going to pass several and other, you know, makes and models as well. So they are definitely out there. And people in this area anyway are embracing it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, it's been great to talk with you both today, and really excited about all the kind of research and development for the novel use cases that you mentioned, Brandon, coming online. I think distributed energy resources are going to be a huge part of this whole ecosystem, maybe a conversation for a future episode once we're online.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Well, thanks again, and really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, thanks to everyone for listening today. If you have any questions about MTE's EV Ready program, Night Flex Rate, or anything EV related, email us at evcarclub@mte.com. For more information on MTE's Drive EV programs or the EV Car Club, please visit driveev.com or email us at evcarclub@mte.com. Until next time, plug in, power up, and drive safe.
If you enjoy this podcast, please leave us a review. Also, we would love to hear from you. If you have any ideas of topics you would like for us to discuss, please email us at driveev@mte.com. Thanks for listening.